Hi, everybody. My name is Joe Foley. Today I'm here with a really cool lady named Sandy Krakowski from realchange.com. And I met her recently, although she's been a client for a super long time. And I call her the pink-haired lady. And I have a beautiful picture of her up right now and with a glowing smile. And I can't wait to start talking to her. Hi, Sandy.
Hey, how are you? You're awfully kind.
Oh, thank you.
That glowing smile is because I love what I do, and you guys have made my life easy. So thank you.
Well, it sure is fun to be appreciated, and I'm lucky to have such a great team, and very lucky to have a bunch of cool clients that now with my Dis.com Insider program, I can interview some terrific people, and then spread the word out, get some of their smarts, and share it with all our people. So I'm excited to start asking you some questions.
Right on, sure.
So I was thinking, you know, now that we're totally in the third quarter of 2011, I was wondering, what do you see as the trends in information marketing and or just business in general for the next year?
Well, something that I see that I don't think is, you know, one of those, oh my gosh, no one has any idea that this is happening, but it is trend. By the way, anytime anyone says to you or anybody listening in your audience, no one knows this is happening, it's most likely that's because it's not. But the reality is when there's a real trend and a real shift, I've been online for 14 years, you will begin to see it pop up in multiple platforms, in multiple niches. You'll see it, many leaders mentioning it, and I believe the strongest one coming down the pipe, which has already been birthed and is growing at a rate that is probably greater than even how social media took over, and that is mobile marketing. I think it's really critical people realize that the mobile platform of smartphones and iPads and Kindles and Nooks, it's not that it could possibly change the way we do business and how we deliver content, but it will, and it has. We have discovered that in the last 6 to 10 months, more than 37% of our users on our website are now on a mobile device. You can see that in Google Analytics. I also believe it's interesting that people in our I want it now society can get access to that in their back pocket, is what I always say, with a smartphone, or carrying it in their bag with an iPad. And so really being ready to deliver your information marketing products and, you know, your sales letters and any mode of communication through mobile marketing is huge. The one thing, though, that I see that is a trend that people talk about, but I don't think people tap into enough, and it's the thing that is very near and dear to my heart, and it's my biggest light edge, and that is the whole back-to-basics approach to business, Joe, where people think just because, well, my gosh, we're going into mobile marketing or, woo-hoo, we're now in social media, we all got to start acting different and talking different. That's a bunch of phooey. The reality is good old-fashioned business, the way business was done years ago, even in the world of bartering, is successful when done through social media, for example, through mobile marketing. So I always tell people to always be aware that with all the advances, your slight edge will be if you never forget the basic principles of how to treat people and how to deliver goodwill with good fortune and how to be yourself and authentic, because people can read right through it, and digitally now with mobile marketing they can see it in less than a split second. And so I think mobile marketing will really be hugely impactful in the next year, if not sooner, and I think it will demand back to basic principles. So I hope that helps.
I totally love both of those points you made. The mobile marketing, such a terrific, exciting thing that's happening. And I loved when you went right into the back to basics, because I totally agree. And even though people want that instant satisfaction of the mobile marketing, like I have my smartphone and my iPad, and I think the best adding the back to basics approach in the real traditional business will make it so clients can get, you know, in every form they want, whether it's a physical product, digital. Yeah.
Which is why, even though people might say, oh gosh, you know, digital marketing is taking over book publishing, so we might not be publishing books anymore. The reality is, digital marketing, yes, is taking on a strong current, but books will never leave the planet.
Right.
I, for one, am somebody who will get 20 digital books, and then the one I love, I'll order all the copies of the physical one so I can highlight the heck out of it, so I can write all over it. And if I don't want to waste my money on the physical, the digital saved me the time and headache. The other thing is MP3s and videos and all that are brilliant. We can't do business anymore without them. But the fact of the matter is people still want, I call it the security of the physical product. Even if they never open it, if you send them an MP3 or a video series and then people partner with you at Disc and you upsell or even over-deliver and send them the DVD or the CD of that content, you now went above and beyond other people and you gave them that security that I will always have it with me should something corrupt or fail on my digital model.
Right.
So there's a perfect marriage right there of mobile marketing and back to basics.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, Sandy, since you started your business, you mentioned 14 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Is there something you could highlight out of, you know, a million things that happened that we can learn from, maybe some of the biggest lessons and changes that you had to make, you know, professionally and personally throughout those years?
Absolutely. And, you know, I started in business online 14 years ago before even Google existed. I remember when they left college and started a search engine. I remember when the way that you delivered email was through something called Majordomo, when there was no such thing as an opt-in, that you had to send an email to a computer-generated entity on your server, and it would then tell you now you will receive this information when it's sent out. I remember when there was no video. I mean, I'm a chick who even remembers albums, LP3. Is that what they're called, LPs? I'm already wanting to put the 3 at the end.
Yeah.
And so I've been doing business for 14 years, and I've run 11 companies online. The fastest growing, most profitable company we've ever done has been in the last 18 months with a Real Change International. My very first company went to $4.5 million in under 4 years, and that was in the 90s. And that was my kitchenware business. The biggest things that I have learned. My first company I built without a mentor, studying a lot of what was online and emulating it and changing it. I knew nothing about copy, even though I have always written my own copy. As God is my witness, I've never hired a copywriter. I'm not saying that's a good or a bad decision. I'm just making that statement. I had no idea what a headline or a tagline was back then. Built a very successful business, but I almost lost my life in the process. I don't know if you're aware of this, but at the end of that 4.5 years of working 90 hours a week and homeschooling my kids, we're in our 21st year of homeschooling. We all graduate in 3 years now.
Wow, that's incredible.
I did it all by myself with only one assistant. The typical problem of most entrepreneurs, no one can do it as well as me. And at one point, I started manifesting different kinds of illnesses. You know, long story short, I had never dealt with my inner game. So first tip, I would recommend that if you're going to build a big business, you had better be dealing with your inner game, or your inner game will start dealing with you as it did me. Working that many hours and pushing myself like crazy ended up developing multiple diseases and several even life-threatening conditions where in 2001 they actually gave me a year to live.
Oh, no.
I had systemic lupus and Crohn's disease and a multiple of different diseases. I'm really blessed to tell you that I have been disease-free for 7.5 years. Complete transformation and healing. Not ironic that it happened as I began to work with a mentor, as I began to deal with my inner game. I always tell people I feel like I got a lobotomy from heaven,
where
my brain went from very self-destructive to really realizing who I was designed to be. Many entrepreneurs don't deal with that, and yet I've spoken to multiple millionaires and even a few billionaires who agree with me in saying, if you don't deal with that inner game, it will deal with you. Today, I don't work more than 30 hours a week. I have 11 staff members, and we outsource almost 100 to 150 hours a week, and that doesn't even include what you guys do for me. So that could go way up as well. So dealing with the inner game is the huge one. The other thing is make sure that you never, ever grow comfortable with your skill level. Because the minute that you are comfortable with your skill set, my personal conviction is you are now beginning to lose your skill set. And so the biggest thing that I learned as well, when I was very, very sick, I was not increasing my skill set. I was not developing myself forward. It's no small wonder that as I came back into business, after a few years of not really working as much, I was still doing a few different writing pieces, I had to work on redeveloping and reigniting my skill. I could have saved myself a lot of time and a lot of headache. The other thing is make sure that you are working with a mentor. I made a commitment to myself in the last 2 years that I would never, ever again go it alone. I've built my companies for 4 out of those 14 years. Actually, the first 5 years were without mentors. Then I worked with mentors, and then I got full of myself and stopped working with mentors. And then I had a few dysfunctional mentors, and then I had a few mentors I had to fire, and I'm sure you can get the drift. You begin to find out who your right mentor will be as you continue to grow as well. And I would encourage people, don't ever start trying to think you can do it without a mentor or a group of people who are farther down the line than you are. 2 things you need in your business, and that is a mentor and a protege. So you need people who are pulling you forward, and you need people you can pour into. Those are the biggest things that I've seen have helped me in the last 18 months do what we've do this time. And my mentors, many of them, you know who they are, Bill Glazer and Dan Kennedy and a couple other people. But I would say, number one, don't ever stop working on your inner game. Number two, don't stop working on your skill set. And number three, don't ever work without a mentor and a mastermind that you're a part of.
Oh my God, I want to like stand up and cheer. That's good stuff. When you open up, I experienced this when I was talking to you in person at I think it was the Super Conference.
Mm-hmm.
You just instantly feel that you can see the passion in your eyes and hear it in your voice, and then you're just so open and honest. It's such a pleasure to hear your good tips. Hey, I was wondering, out of all the cool stuff you just mentioned, you have a great team now. At first you had like the one assistant, and that, mm-hmm. now you have a much larger staff, and you do all that outsourcing.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking about a team only because that's kind of my strongest point here at this.com. That's how I make it through the day, is having this incredible team.
Me too, and my best team member is the one that joined me about 3 months ago, and that was the fulfillment of a 14-year dream, and that is my husband.
Whoa, congratulations.
He left corporate America and became my business partner, and I will tell you, as God is my witness, he is single-handedly responsible for our new Emerald Memberships offline newsletter. He did that without any help from me, without any help from anyone. And if I do say so myself, and we have clients all over the world who got their samples, Belgium, the UK, Australia, New Zealand, has been ridiculous, Singapore, who said, oh, my gosh, who's doing this? And that's my rock star husband, Alan. And so it was just an exciting thing to have one of the biggest, if not the biggest, team member. Plus, it makes it a whole lot more fun working together. And so that was cool to see that dream come true.
That's really cool. Hey, Sandy, what are you the most proud of since you started your current company?
Well, I would say the biggest thing that I'm most proud of, it ties into the advice that I gave people just a minute ago, and that is that I've dealt with my inner game and put a core group of one or two people around me. I don't have a community around me who is entitled to this role, but a core group of one or two, maybe three people who, they help me with my inner game. Plain English, let's just be who we are if we were talking together across the coffee table. I'd lean over Joe and I'd say, they call me on my crap. And so there are some whose roles help me to get the crap out of my head, and there are some who their role is to help me remind me who I am, what I'm good at, what I really excel at, what I really can do. I'm really proud of myself that I have gotten into a state of who I am that I realize I need both of those. I need people who build me up and people who are ambassadors for truth in my life and will call me on my stuff. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that I've made an investment. I have invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in my career of being self-taught and mentored. But this year was the biggest year of multiple six figures in investments. And so I'm really proud of myself of taking my game. You know, when we wrote $500,000 of business last November in our coaching practice, the very first time we launched it, in 28 hours, we wrote $500,000 worth of business.
Wow.
And the very first thing I did, and I always tell people, listen, you're going to have to realize I have people of all kinds of backgrounds who work with us and who follow us, and I love people of all kinds of backgrounds. But when I say what I'm going to say, I mean it from the bottom of my heart. This is exactly what I did. I laid on my floor and went before my God, and the first word that came out of my mouth was, help. The second one was, who the hell do I hire to be my mentor? And so I really am proud of myself for reaching way higher than I ever have, and that is making an investment into myself and my clients by getting Bill and Dan, Bill Glazer and Dan Kennedy, to work with me. And the last one, which is very personal and something that not a lot of people know about, is that more than 30% of our company profits get poured back into something that is very dear to my heart, and that is adoptions, people who are in the slave trade, and empowering young adults for business and not for living like a bunch of hypnotized drones like society is creating. And so I'm really proud of the adoptions that we have been silently. No one has ever really seen a lot of the pictures unless, you know, you've been in my house or whatever, that we've been able to partner with, helping couples that the only thing they lacked was the funds, helping women and men and boys and girls all over the world to escape slavery in the very real sense of the word. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of that very active here in the U.S., and I'm really proud of our clients and my team and what they've given us the power and ability to do in that. And lastly, just the thing that gets me up in the morning is changing kids and how they think, and teenagers and 20-somethings, on realizing what they are great at and then helping them release that ability into a career and finding the best mentors and best courses for them to fulfill that. Some of them, it may be college. Some of them, they might need, like me, to stay the heck away from a college, but helping them to know for their specific career what they would need.
That is so incredible. I loved you before, and I didn't even know that you were doing all that, giving back. That's incredible.
Thank you.
Hey, Sandy, I am a little bit, I got to be honest, I'm excited about the next 10 years in our business, but I am a little nervous. Do you think information marketing will continue to grow?
I think it will continue to grow, but I believe just as we've seen a massive shift in what I call interruption marketing, and then, you know, and I haven't called it that. A lot of people have, but I refer to it as interruption marketing, and then being able to serve people through marketing. Interruption marketing used to be when you went on the internet or you appeared on a bulletin board or a TV commercial and it was like, yeah, let me interrupt you with my product as many times as I can and maybe you'll get what I have. And people just eventually grew to ignore it. And so then we got into where it was very important to have permission marketing, where I want to earn your trust and have permission to be able to market with you. I believe that the internet, over the course of the last several years, has created another massive shift, and that is that you need to be authentic. You must care about your client more than your marketing, which is such a crack up, because your marketing will suck if you don't care about your clients.
Right.
You might have all your copywriting, scientific, ADA, and four-legged this and two-part that all in place. But if you don't know your client, quite frankly, you're screwed, because you're now taking a method and trying to use it in marketing, and yet at the end of every key to marketing is what? People. And when you're marketing to people, guess who has the money? The people. And in order to get some of the money from the people, you have to understand people and how they think. And so I think the biggest change that we're going to see is already happening, and that is that it demands a relationship. A lot of people with their MBAs and their advertising agencies and their big New York style of doing things are struggling horrifically in the same 18-month period that I built my fastest-growing company. And I believe a lot of that, if not all of it, has to do with relationship. I believe the internet and digital world will demand this as well, because, like it or not, our clients now possess power that they really didn't have before, and that is to tell everyone else extremely quickly, if not instantly, how they feel about how we serve them. It goes back to basics. And so I don't believe information marketing will ever fade out. I believe this new generation of kids, even economists show that these kids who are part of social media and a part of the internet, they think at a faster rate, they consume content quicker, they activate things much more effectively. Contrary to what a lot of mommies and daddies might think, there are a lot of kids who have learned how to write because of the internet. There's a lot of children who and teens who have learned how to communicate effectively because of the internet. Aside from, obviously, all the problems we see on the internet, there's a lot that the digital world has made even greater. And I believe that the desire and the almost addiction to consume information is only going up. And so put all that together, it means to be a really good servant, to really care about your clients. I mean, I just got done writing my first book that you guys are helping us deliver, and it's shipping within the next week, and that is Reading Their Mind. I mean, how to hear what the marketplace is saying and build a huge business. It's plain back to basics principles. But information marketing, I think, will take on maybe different methods of delivery, maybe different methods of processing. But do I believe it will disappear? Oh, heck no. It's kind of like when I was homeschooling my kids 14 years ago, and I said, I believe there will come a day when we will plug into the internet, there will be no more walls to colleges. And people looked at me like, what kind of crack are you smoking?
A crazy lady, but it's
but,
she was
but
a,
I was
right
building
on.
A dot-com business in the dot-com bust. I had no clue that the basic principles of business is what I brought online, because to me, the online world and the offline world were not separated. It's not like you had a pseudo-world and a real world. You had a very real world where the internet became no different than like the telephone was. It's not like if I called you in Singapore 14 years ago, you were fake because you came to me through a digital phone.
Right.
There was a lot of people who thought, oh, the internet is just not, it's real, but it's not real. I believe the information marketing has made it where there's no more crease. It's not any different. If I see you or Bill Glazer or myself or my clients, and then we do a live event, hopefully our connection goes to a higher level. It's not disconnect. So I believe that information marketing will take on a place where that connection will demand that it be even truer than it ever was before. There will be no disconnect allowed at all.
That sounds good. And you keep focusing on the relationships, like you
mm-hmm.
said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, Sandy, about, you know, with your background in copywriting, I wanted to ask you a specific question about copywriting in regards to creating video.
Mm.
Do you think things should be scripted or unscripted?
Well, one of my good friends, Shalene Johnson, who actually has the number one female infomercial in the world, TurboFire, and I were talking about this, and we just got back from a live event that we did called Video Impact Academy. Now, she has been in the whole realm of teleprompter and TV. I mean, even Dave King was there, who's been the host for Home Shopping Network and QVC, and talking about how today's market demands video, wants video, and as a matter of fact, TV is beginning to mirror what we see on YouTube. You see the girl next door, you see the guy next door. It's not huge brands anymore. It's connection with people again. And we were talking about the reality is that the whole teleprompter thing is so outdated, and it will destroy your connection with your audience if you're not careful. I believe what we need, however, is copywriters who can write good, powerful bullets. People, again, need to be groomed to understand their audience. Now, not everyone is as good of an extemporaneous type speaker as I am, maybe, but let me give you this disclaimer. That ability did not come by someone teaching me how to speak because I've never been to such a training. That ability did not come from anyone telling me how to communicate because, again, I've never had any such mentoring, period. But it came from listening to my audience, learning to write to them as a copywriter, and then taking that knowledge into video or any mode of speaking. Here's the wild thing. We've taken some of my videos and my conference calls that are like an hour long. You know the FK score that needs to be below 7.2 in good copywriting, the Flesch Kincaid score. My speaking is below 7.2. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a trip. But how did that happen? It comes from, number one, reading a lot of good copy, from writing copy. But I always tell people, I don't know that I'm so good of a copywriter as much as I am. I listen to people. I listen to my audience, and I teach people how to listen and how to study what people say. So is scripted or unscripted? I am very strongly against unscripted, and I'm also very strongly against just winging it. I believe good, powerful bullet points, having a map for where you're going with a good beginning and close, which is what? Good copy. Is the best way to do it. And this past event that I did with Shalene, there was over 120 people in the room, people who'd never done video before, and applying some of that proved to be very successful, helping them get over their nerves as well, because you're not teleprompting. My gosh, you're like brain split. You're thinking and you're trying to read and you're like, hi, I was right, I need a smile. That doesn't work. We're helping them come up with good bullets, a good intro, and a good call to action helped even the most nervous person create a great video.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What do you think about bringing in new leads? What media avenues do you think have the greatest potential to bring in some leads, online or offline?
My personal conviction, and a lot of people don't know this, Bill Glazer and I were chatting about this recently on one of the calls I had with him, is that even when I did my kitchenware business, mind you, I didn't know that when I was doing a ton of search engines that was called pay-per-click. I mean, it sounds goofy. I mean, who knows? I knew how it worked. I didn't know that's what they called it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that when I made up postcards or wrote up a letter exactly like I might have sent through email and mailed it out to 1,000 clients, that was called direct mail. But beyond all that, you can call it naive, maybe call it a good idea because I wasn't brainwashed with all kinds of wrong ways of building my business. I always had done, whether it was in e-commerce, which I built 7 of those businesses, direct sales. I even spent 24 months in network marketing, which proved to make me a great copywriter because I had prospected over 30,000 leads on the phone. That'll make you a specialist in people. Mm-hmm. I discovered that offline and online marketing married together. Do I believe there's any perfect media? I do believe that direct mail will always be king. I do not believe that just mailing something will always be king. We've all seen good examples of a bad example with that kind of stuff. But I believe in today's world, if you mail it into a mailbox and drive them back to a website and build rapport with them, through social media, your conversion will be ridiculous. And what is the linchpin through all of that? Relationship. So I think if you're I'm actually quite thrilled when all of my internet marketing guys forget about offline marketing because then that's so much easier for me to do that. I also, if you're going to only do offline and you only create maybe a web presence and you forget about social media and you haven't used pay-per-click and you're not doing any kind of banner advertising and you're not guest blogging, you're missing it too. So I do believe direct mail will always be king, which is, you know, you guys are massive specialists in. And I believe that the best approach is multiple to bring the two together, drive offline to online, and even take your online audience like we've recently done and drive them to receiving content from you offline, which when you show up in their mailbox and they're now touching, feeling, reading something, you just became a whole lot bigger in their world online.
Excellent. Sandy, what do you think you would advice you would give to someone that's just getting started to try to help them with the copywriting?
The best advice that I would do, that a lot of people have given advice, Dan Kennedy will give this advice, John Carlton will give this advice, Joe Polish will give this advice, I could go on and on and on, is, and many people are going to go, you've got to be kidding me when I tell them this, but I'm going to tell them it anyway, is spend a year in direct sales. Force yourself to get good at prospecting. Now, there's all kinds of different tools that you can use nowadays. I don't know that phone prospecting is even a good idea anymore. Quite frankly, who the heck wants to pick up the phone with somebody who doesn't want to hear from you? But I do believe in generating hot leads through the internet and offline, and then the times you do pick up the phone, you will probably want to do it that way. So spend a year in direct sales. Even if you think it's going to kill you, it will make you a better copywriter. If it doesn't kill you, it will cause you to have so many burned images in your mind of different people that you are talking to, you will be resistant proof. The next thing is, I believe, you know, obviously, yes, it is a selfish motive purely. You need to read my book, Read Their Mind, which we give away for free on our website. But the whole premise of that is listen, study your audience. Before or while you're learning how to piece together good call to actions and good structural copy and how your headline should look, et cetera, you should be studying Amazon, social media, and Google. Because this is where people are. They are telling you what to say to them for free. They're telling you how to talk to them. They're telling you what words they speak, that if you speak back to them because it's already in their head and coming out of their mouth, they'll buy your product faster. It's a copywriter's dream. And so if you're going into copywriting, number one, you need to seriously think about spending some time in direct sales, maybe part-time or learn from some direct sales trainers on methods of prospecting. Number two, study and listen to your marketplace. And number three, work on your inner game, because a copywriter is a speaker. They just happen to use a keyboard or a pen, not their mouth. Some of the best copywriters I know as well become better copywriters by speaking. Now, that doesn't mean they're polished. I always tell people, if you polish me, I will disappear. And so I haven't let anybody mess that up yet. Probably won't ever. But then that too, work on presenting live. It'll be a whole lot easier to present, prospect, and close through the written word if you do that.
Hey, Sandy, how about what do you think's been one of your greatest resources or inspirations over the years?
Well, and this one, you know me, Joe. I got pink hair, a diamond in my nose, and a big honking tattoo. I'm 47 years old, have a hot husband, homeschool. I break every box. I mean, people are like, you homeschool? You're that? So I'm going to pop out of a box here and with this disclaimer that I love all people, and you can sift this through a strainer if you want to, but you asked me, so I'm going to be totally honest with you. The biggest success book I've ever read has been the Bible. Doesn't have to be everybody else's inspiration, but it has been mine. I personally like to go to the source of the creation and learn from him what he said about the world. That is my biggest, hands down, inspiration. I recently interviewed Rabbi Lapin, who wrote the book Thou Shall Prosper. And again, he's Jewish, so that tells you how much I love all people. And I believe that we all need to dwell together as God designed in unity will be a whole lot more powerful. His book, Thou Shall Prosper, will destroy any issues you have with poverty. And if you think you don't have them, you are deceived. Read the book. And so I don't even care if you've made hundreds of millions of dollars. You probably still have some issues to get rid of. Dan Kennedy and Bill Glazer really are my favorites. I have thousands of books in my library. I have books in boxes. I'm a bookaholic. But they are so pragmatic, so genuine, so real, and so, pardon me, but damn smart that you really can't go wrong going through their materials. They have been a huge inspiration to me. And so those three resources, I mean, you know, on my website, I have a reading list. I've interviewed people like Guy Kawasaki, who wrote the book Enchantment, tons of books I can recommend. But those are the three sources that I would say have impacted me the most to build a multiple seven-figure business with over 170,000 clients in 18 months. And so if anybody wants to know the secret sauce behind that, that's a lot of it.
Wow. That's incredible.
I give other resources in my book, too.
What do you have? Recently I went to your website and signed up. I've been getting, I'm on day 24 of my 30 days of amazing content.
Are you making more money with your blog now, Joe?
My blog is going to get crazy. I'm going to get, all I've been doing is talking. So I'm going to really get it moving.
You know what's fun, too, is I know Mary Ellen Tribby is actually doing a great presentation for us. She's like, blogs are dying, and I couldn't agree more. The old, let me pour out my crap on a blog, i.e. a digital journal. Let me dump my, I mean, I've seen people who have hundreds of thousands of followers, and they're talking about how they went off Prozac, and it's like, give me a break. You've got to be kidding me. That is dying. But the platform of WordPress, where the largest websites in the world are now hosting all their content, like eBay and every news channel, et cetera. That's what we teach in it, 30-day make more money with your blog. So I have to give that disclaimer when I say, are you building a blog, Joe? Getting your content into WordPress is huge.
What do you have in the works that everybody should know about that's listening?
Should they know
about
it?
You have 10 hours.
Maybe not yet, but maybe look for it.
Yeah.
You know, I do have that, it's that whole psychological warfare, you know, with my competitors where they can't quite know where I'm going, but I will give them enough hints to make them lose sleep and need some therapy. But I'm actually been working on something that I've been dreaming about for the last 12 years, something that somebody reminded me recently, you know, you were talking about this thing 12 years ago that I really believe will revolutionize how people do publications and contents. It is something that will tap into mobile marketing, but it also has an entity of it, I'm not giving it away, that I will need you to help me with, Joe. And so people will want to be on the lookout for that. It will definitely happen within the next 6 to 10 months. And, you know, we like creating things in a tidal wave. I like coming out of nowhere, creating saturation so that people are like, who the heck is that? Mm-hmm. The pink hair leaves a good memory, doesn't it?
It does.
So I think
I'll never forget you.
I've told people I'm stuck now. I'm going to have pink hair till I'm 80. Which would be cool. I'll be the coolest 80-year-old you've ever seen. Stilettos and pink hair, I think it'd be good. My husband will love it. But I think the other cool thing is that I'm creating is something that I will be working with my coaching clients one-on-one in 2012 with and in our groups. So this is not something that I'm saying, oh, my gosh, all of you with specialty seven-figure skill will want to tap into this. This is something just like WordPress that will revolutionize a lot of publication and content distribution, and most business owners should be able to tap into using it.
Fabulous. You have shared so much from your heart, from your mind. It's been a fantastic call, and I really appreciate you finding some time for us, and then the fact that you're going to let us share this with all of our people in our community. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, I just want to say thanks again to Sandy Krakowski. And if you want to find out more about her, you can go to realchange.com/blog.